Answering Objections by Linford Beachey, published by Present Truth Ministries, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and Ikad. Oddly, one of the most monotheistic verses in the Bible is used by some Trinitarians in an attempt to prove a plurality in God. This verse is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Ikad, Lord." This text is quoted by devout Jews at least twice a day, and they are strictly monotheistic. They see nothing in this verse to imply that God is more than one person. Yet this verse is used by some Trinitarians to support the idea of a plural God. The word in question is the Hebrew word Ikad, which was translated one. The Hebrews see this as a word that denotes complete singularity, while some Trinitarians see it as a word that denotes plurality in a compound unity, such as three in one. Some Trinitarians claim that Ikad represents unified oneness as opposed to the Hebrew word Yakid, which they say represents numeric oneness. Some Trinitarians claim that if Moses wanted to indicate that God is numerically one, he would have used the Hebrew word Yakid instead of Ikad. Plugging in the plurality idea into Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 would make it read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our gods are a unified group, Lord." Let us examine how Ikad and Yakid are used in the Bible so we can understand what God is trying to tell us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Ikad. Ikad is the Hebrew word most commonly used to describe something that is one. Almost every time you find the English word one in the Old Testament, it was translated from the Hebrew word Ikad. Ikad was used 952 times in the Old Testament. It was translated one 687 times. Every language has a word to signify one in the sense of counting. In Spanish it is uno, in German it is ien, in Latin it is unum, in Hebrew it is ikad. When you go to www.translate.google.com and type 1 in the English side and select Hebrew on the translated side, it will translate it as Ikad. The reason for this is that Ikad simply means one. The New American Standard Hebrew Lexicon defines it as a primary cardinal number, one. The Brown Drivers Briggs Hebrew Lexicon says one number. There are Trinitarian commentaries and lexicons that contain definitions of Ikad suited to fit their preconceived idea that God is a plural God made up of a compound unity, but that does not make these definitions true. There is a saying among Bible students that says, "Context is king." This means that the context of how a word is used in the Bible is more valuable than any man-made definition of that word. When writers of the Hebrew Bible wanted to distinguish something as one, as opposed to two or three, they used the word Ikad. Let us look at a few examples. When Esau was tricked out of his father's blessing, he complained to his father, "Hast thou but one Ikad blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Genesis chapter 27, verse 38. Here we find that Ikad literally means one, not two or more. When Joseph's brothers came to him for food, they said, "We are all one Ikad man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies." Genesis chapter 42, verse 11. Surely these brothers were not saying that they were the sons of a group of men, but rather one and only one. They did not have to use the word Yakid to clarify that this one man was only one man. This idea was naturally inherent in their use of the word Ikad. After Joseph accused them of being spies, he said, "Send one Ikad of you and let him fetch your brother." Genesis chapter 42 verse 16. Joseph was not suggesting to send a group of men back for their brother, but only one. Joseph's brothers said to him, "We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One Ikad is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan, Genesis chapter 42, verse 32. When they said, one is not, they were talking about Joseph, pretending that he had died. Joseph was the only one of the 12 that was missing, and they used Ichad to explain this. When God explained to Moses how to build the Ark of the Covenant, he said, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat, and make one Ichad cherub on the one end, and the other Ichad cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. Exodus chapter 25, verses 18 and 19. This is a simple math problem. 1 plus 1 equals 2. There are two total cherubims, and one of them is called Ichad. When the Bible describes the daily sacrifices of Israel, it says, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one Ichad lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. Exodus chapter 29, verses 38 and 39. Again, one is literally one, and two is literally two. Ichad is the Hebrew word for one. When Moses finished building the altar and dedicated it, the Bible says, and his, Nishan's offering was one Ichad silver charger, the weight thereof was 130 shekels, one Ichad silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. Numbers chapter 7, verse 13. Again, we see a simple math equation. One charger plus one bowl equals both of them. Ichad is not a compound unit here either. The bowl and charger are single items, just as the sacrifices mentioned above are single items. Solomon wrote, two are better than one, Ichad, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one, Ichad, will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone, Ichad, when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one, Ichad, be warm? And if one, Ichad, prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It is very clear that Solomon was making a distinction between one person and two persons by using the word Ichad. Notice that the word Ichad is also used here for alone. Ichad definitely carries the idea of absolute singularity. Trying to insert a compound unity definition in this verse would render it meaningless. Another text that clearly shows the singularity of Ichad is Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, which says, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one Ichad witness he shall not be put to death. Ichad could not possibly mean more than one in this verse, since it is said in contrast to two or three. There are well over 600 similar examples, and for the sake of conserving space and not wearying you further, we will confine it to the few listed here. The word Ichad has a plural form that Moses could have used if he had intended for us to believe God is a unified group. We find the plural form of Ichad in Genesis chapter 29, verse 20, which says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few, Ichad in its plural form, days, for the love he had for her. Moses could easily have explained that God is a compound unit or group of gods if he wanted us to believe this, but he simply said, the Lord our God is one Lord. This comes just two chapters after he said, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. And just one chapter later, God said, "Thou shalt have none other gods before me." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7. The context requires that we take the word one in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, to mean one in its absolute singular sense, rather than a unit or group, despite the fact that even a brief Bible study on the Hebrew word echad reveals that it literally means one. A theology professor wrote that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Moses employed the plural echad, one among others, in a joined or shared oneness. Woodrow Whitten, The Trinity, co-authored by Woodrow Whitten, Jerry Moon, and John Reeve, Hagerstown, Maryland, Review and Herald, 2002. This statement is not true at all. There is a plural form of echad, as we saw in Genesis chapter 29, verse 20, but Moses used the singular form in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. To suggest that Moses was trying to indicate that the one God of the Bible is really one among others would mean that there could be dozens of gods. It is sad when people take a word and try to make it mean the opposite of what was intended by the author. In the same paragraph as the above statement, the author says, Yakid means one in the sense of only or alone. Yet Echad carries this meaning as well. Echad is absolutely singular. Echad was translated alone or only several times in the Bible. The Bible says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone, Echad, God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, Echad, and blessed him, and increased him. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2. Geber the son of Uri was in the country of Gilead, in the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and of Og, king of Bashan. And he was the only Echad officer which was in the land. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 19. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil and only Echad evil, behold, is come. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 5. Echad is a word that carries strict singularity along with the idea of alone and only. It is not necessary for God to use Yakid to indicate his singularity. The fact is, there are several other verses that add strict modifiers to indicate the absolute singularity of God, some of which are in close proximity to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. See Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35 and 39, chapter 5, verse 7, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5, and verse 14, and verse 18, and verse 21 and 22, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, Joel chapter 2, verse 27, Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 34, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, etc. If when the Bible says the Lord is one Lord, it really means the Lord is a united group of lords, then all the other verses that add modifiers to indicate only one would have to be reinterpreted. The fact is, Moses had words available to him to signify unity if that is what he wanted to say. He could have used the word yakad, which means to be united, Genesis chapter 49, verse 6. But he did not use it because he did not want us to think God is a group of united persons. Many Trinitarians seek to find a plural meaning for yakad by quoting Numbers chapter 13, verse 23, which says, "And they came unto the brook of Eshgal, and cut down from thence a branch with one echad cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs." Some Trinitarians assert that because the word echad is used here, referring to a cluster of grapes, that the word echad means one made up of parts, a unit or a group. If the above verse would have said one ikad cluster of grapes, when in reality it meant that there were several clusters of grapes, then the argument would hold some validity. If the verse would have said one ikad grape, when in reality it was referring to a whole cluster of grapes, then we would know that the word ikad means more than just one. Yet the verse mentions only one cluster of grapes. The noun that ikad refers to in this verse is what is a unit or group, not the word ikad. Ikad is used for one cluster of grapes, Numbers chapter 13, verse 23, one company, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 17, one troop, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25, one tribe, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 13, one nation, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 21. In each case, the plurality exists in the noun rather than in the adjective one. Another verse used to attempt to show a compound unity in the word ikad is Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, which says, "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first ikad day." It is argued that since a day is composed of two parts, the dark and the light portions, that the word ikad has the meaning of compound unity or one composed of parts. Again, this argument is unsound. Ikad still means one in this verse. The compound portion of the statement, first day, is not one, but day. The following verses speak of the second day, the third day, the fourth day, etc. Is it going to be argued that second and third are also compound unity words just because they are followed by the word day? I can say one egg or one dozen eggs. The meaning of one in these statements is exactly the same in both cases. I could also say two eggs or two dozen eggs. Any compound unity in a statement that uses the word one is to be found in the word following one rather than in one itself. The primary verse that Trinitarians refer to for support for their assertion that ikad means more than one is Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one ikad flesh." Trinitarians sometimes use this verse to try to prove that ikad does not mean one. However, the verse did not say that a man and a woman would become one human, nor did it say that they would become one person nor one being, though the man and the woman would become one flesh, would still be two persons, two beings, and two humans. Neither would they be joined together to become one body of flesh. Rather, they are become one family. In seeking for an understanding of the term one flesh, we must not conjecture about the meaning of the word one, but rather we should seek for the meaning of the word flesh as it is used in this verse. Even in this verse, one still means one and only one. The verse is not trying to indicate that there are two fleshes, but one flesh. We find in the Bible an explanation of one flesh to show that it signifies a close family relationship. Joseph's brothers said of him, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Genesis chapter 37, verse 27. Paul called his Jewish brethren my flesh. Romans chapter 11, verse 14. To indicate their close blood relationship. The Bible even translates the Hebrew word basar that was translated flesh in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 as kin in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 6 and 25, verse 49. The New American Standard Bible translates it blood relative. With this understanding for flesh, it is clear that the expression one flesh in Genesis chapter 2 verse 24 means that the two married people are to be considered as closely related as blood relatives. They become one family, not two families, but one. One still means one in this verse. Any compound unity resides in flesh rather than one. One means one. The Hebrew word ichad functions exactly the same in Hebrew as our English word one. I could say my wife, children, and I make one family. The word family indicates more than one within it, but the word one still means one. If you offer to pay me $100 for a day's labor, it would be wrong for me to expect to receive $200 or more just because the word hundred that follows one indicates plurality within it. If I came to you the next day and you agreed to buy my wristwatch for $1, it would be illogical for me to expect you to pay me $3. It would not help my case for me to claim you used the word one in a plural sense yesterday, so I expected that you would give me at least $2 for my watch because one is plural. It is easy to see how illogical my position would be if I followed this line of reasoning. If I were to try to take you to court to sue you for the extra money I feel entitled to, the judge would dismiss my case immediately because it is based on a false premise. The above argument is very easy to dismiss as illogical. Yet when the same type of flimsy argument is used to support the Trinity by the use of the word ichad, many people accept it as gospel truth. Even theologians grasp onto this reasoning and repeat it in their works until it is so often repeated that it takes on the appearance of fact. We must not rest content with man-made theories that have no basis in reality to support our belief in a doctrine. The fact that Trinitarians have to go to such lengths to seek for support of the Trinity is virtually proof that it is not true. When a person needs to grasp at straws to support their position, it is a good indication that their position is not worth building up. The Hebrew word ichad in its singular form, as in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, means one and only one in every case. There is not even one example of ichad in its singular form meaning more than one, even though it is used over 900 times in the Bible. When God inspired Moses to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, ichad Lord," he meant just that. There is one and only one Lord our God, and not a unity of three gods. In case the evidence examined is not enough to settle the matter, Jesus gave us a divine commentary on this verse that we can be certain is truthful. Jesus quoted this verse in Mark chapter 12. A Jewish leader approached him and asked, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. Notice the exchange here. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And then the scribe commented on this verse, "There is one God, and there is none other but he." Here we find that this Jew understood Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to mean there is one God and none other but he. In case Trinitarians are uncertain whether ichad indicates exclusive singularity, this Jew used very precise and exclusive language. Three statements indicate singularity. He said, "There is one God, and there is none other, and he." This Jewish leader understood that God is a singular individual being, and none other but he. When we compare this verse with John chapter 8, verse 54, we find an interesting connection. Here Jesus was dialoguing with the Jewish leaders when he said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. When a Jew says God, they are referring to the person Jesus identified as his Father. And this verse demonstrates that Jesus knew that the Jews had this understanding. In Mark chapter 12, verse 32, it is certain that the scribe understood Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to be referring exclusively to God the Father, as the one and only God beside whom there is none other. When Jesus heard this, the Bible says, Jesus saw that he answered discreetly or wisely. Jesus recognized that this man answered well. And then Jesus said, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus did not correct this man for his understanding, but instead complimented him for his good answer. Here is divine approval for the understanding that Echad literally means one and only one in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. In contrast to Jesus Christ's commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, notice what some commentators say about it. This does not mean Jehovah is one God. Keel and Deitch, Old Testament commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The threefold mention of the divine names and the plural number of the word translated God seem plainly to intimate a trinity of persons, even in this express declaration of the unity of the Godhead. Matthew Henry commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. One in three and three in one. Here are three words answering the three persons. John Trapp's commentary on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It is amazing what some people can read into the Bible that is not there. There is no way that Moses or any of his contemporaries would have understood Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to have reference to a trinity or any more than just one person. The only way a person could find that theory in this text is if they already had the preconceived idea before reading it. This is something that could not have happened until the Catholic Church formulated the doctrine in the 4th century AD, just as prophesied in Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 39. The New Testament has just as strong language to signify the singularity of God as is found in the Old Testament. Jesus said, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus called his Father the only true God, and Paul wrote, As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be many gods and lords, many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Yakid. Trinitarians would have us believe that if Moses had wanted us to believe God is only one numerically single individual, that he would have used the word Yakid instead of Echad. Yet this is definitely not the case. We have already seen that Echad is equivalent to our English word one. Yakid means only one, solitary, one, unique, only begotten son. Brown Driver Briggs, Hebrew Lexicon. Yakid is only used 12 times in the Bible, 8 of which refer to only begotten children. The remaining 4 instances are used to mean solitary or lonely in a negative sense. It is much more likely that if Moses had wanted to indicate that God is one singular individual, he would have used Echad rather than Yakid, and that is precisely what he did. In any language, the word for the numeral one is widely used. We find the English word one in the Old Testament over 1,000 times. The majority of those times it was translated from the Hebrew word Echad. Yakid, on the other hand, is only used 12 times and most often refers to only begotten children. The fact that this word is not used in reference to God, the Father, is not surprising at all. To argue that since this word is never used for God, then he must be a plural being does not make sense. To argue from the lack of evidence is not a wise premise. The fact is, There are many verses that employ very exclusive singular terms for the Father, such as one God, none other, none else, beside me there is no God, etc. It is not necessary to conclude that since God did not use a particular word to indicate his singularity, that he must not be a single person. There are lots of single items or persons in the Bible that are not described by the use of Yakid. Are we to conclude that they are not singular because the obscure word we want God to use is missing? If God the Father wanted to indicate that he is only begotten or lonely, then we could expect him to use Yakid. Certainly we would not expect God the Father to want to convey these ideas about himself, so we should expect that he would not use Yakid to define himself. There is absolutely no biblical basis to claim that since Ikad is used instead of Yakid to define God's singularity, that he must be more than one person. The biblical evidence is of more value to discover the truth than any man-made commentary or dictionary definition. The facts are clear. There is but one God, the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6.